are listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
To share the platform with somebody I considered one of my heroes, one of my mentors. And so with Jason coming this week and leading our cohort of pastors and thinking he's going to speak, thinking I would love to be able to share the stage with Jason and talk about something, because I respect him, I love him, and he's just, I knew him before, and he's just so incredible, of a man, of a father, of a pastor, of a scholar. He's what, I mean, in spite of the fact that he's a Notre Dame fan, he actually has pretty good judgment, and is one of the leading researchers and also academics within our movement in Foursquare. And so this is, I know you'll get something out of it, but really this is for me, because honestly, I love this and I love the opportunity to interact. And sometimes, for me, some of my greatest memories are the conversations we've had about stuff like this. And so there we are. So you want to hug me?
Oh. I'm not going to dance with you, though.
Oh, good. All right. So let me read Psalm 100. That will be our text for today. And then I will ask you for your thoughts. Doctor, Reverend Doctor. Yes. So, make joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Well, before I expound on that, just a short, quick story. The last time I was here to speak, you guys had been at the church for just a few months, I think, and you guys probably needed a vacation already. So you asked Elise and I to come, and I walked up these stairs, and I didn't start off on the strongest note, because as soon as I got up here, I said, man, I feel really high right now. And it didn't get much of a reaction, because everybody maybe thought I was stoned. I'm not sure. So after this...
You weren't.
No, I was not. But anyway, sorry. So I got just about the same impression last time. Not a lot of laughs. Sometimes I think things are funny, so...
Do you know what you talked about that day?
How awesome you were, I think.
No, you didn't. Oh. You talked about Nehemiah, Sanballat, and Tobiah, and the persecution of Nehemiah as they're trying to rebuild the wall, and your title was, don't listen to that guy. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was good.
All right.
No pressure.
Well, good morning. Like Louis said, I'm originally from Carson City, Nevada, and for some reason, Louis kind of looked at a punk 18-year-old kid with very bad intentions and was faithful and loving, and you guys noted how accepting he was. Well, he kind of welcomed me into their family as well. I lived with them for a few months before we got married.
You and your wife.
And well, yeah, not, well, yes,
just,
not us.
Just clarify.
And it was, it was the first time that I had experienced that. I mean, I love my parents. They're phenomenal people. Our home was kind of messed up, probably like every other home. But for the first time in my life, I felt loved and accepted without trying to have to work for something. And it's an amazing experience. I'll talk more about that as we go. But I'd like to start off this morning with that last verse of the psalm. And it says, for the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Are there any Star Trek fans out there? Yeah, sure. A few of us. That's about normal, too. Everybody's like, what? Okay. Well, I love Star Trek. I love Star Trek Next Generation. And one of the last movies of Star Trek Next Generation is this movie called Nemesis, okay? And it's like this cloned evil guy and all this stuff. Anyway, we won't go into details there. But there's this android in the movie, and it's kind of the the early edition of another android in the movie, and his name is B4, and he's really slow, and he always asks why, like throughout the whole movie. And so they're trying to explain things to him, and he's like, why? 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 And it's kind of like the your little kids, like you say, you know, they're like, what are you doing? I'm eating lunch. Why? Because I'm hungry. Why? I don't know, because God made me this way. Why? You know, and it's just always, always, always why. Well, I'd love to try to answer the why. And the why is, why are we thankful? Right? Because I think sometimes that if somebody just sets out like a hard rule, sometimes as a dad, I'm just like, man, just do this, right? Just get it through your thick skull. Be thankful. And I never really go through of why we need to be thankful. Well, the psalmist right here in verse 5 tells us why. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So we're thankful first and come to God in thankfulness because God is good. I think it's one of the biggest lies, and it was one of the biggest lies for Eve and Adam in the garden, right? The serpent comes to them, and they kind of start to question God's goodness. Hey, do you really think God's good? Because he's withholding something from you. He doesn't really want you to have this one thing. And the serpent, it's so crafty, but the real question is, do you really believe that God's for you? Or do you really believe that God's holding something back from you? And I think the psalmist here, it's so true, because he says, the reason why we're thankful is because the Lord is good. And so when we look at, God, as Louis said, I grew up Catholic, and so I just had this works mentality in me all the time. Like I had to prove to God, or I had to do this, or and it still kind of weaves its way into my life in almost every area. And so even when I read about being thankful, this is where I go. I'll be thankful in order for God to do something for me. All right? It's like, so okay, God, I need this, so I'm going to be thankful, and then you'll give it to me. It's like, right, we're teaching our kids to be thankful, and it's like, okay, if you're not thankful, then you're not getting this. Or, you know what? Or those people, you know, you do something nice for, and you're kind of waiting for the thank you note, or you're waiting for them to say thank you, and you're like, man, they didn't acknowledge that. Can you believe they didn't thank me for bringing them dinner, or they didn't thank me for that birthday gift, or they didn't thank me? And then so next time, you're like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because there's now almost 90, I think there's 95 kids in our preschool. And there's a lot. Not all at once, thank Jesus for that. But one of the things that they get for good behavior are Jelly Bellies. And it's good and it's an incentive, but there's also kind of the genesis of what you're talking about. They do something good and now it's like, where's my Jelly Bean? And you think, well, those silly lions and tigers, they're 4 and 5 years old. They have to learn. But we think the exact same way. So
here, though, that I guess what I'm trying to say is our thankfulness is always a result of what God's already done. See, God's not like me, and we should all be thankful for that, all right? But here's the deal. Like, God doesn't say, well, Jason didn't say thank you, so I'm going to stand back and I'm not going to be for him today. Or I'm not going to be good today to him. Because God is good, and it says that his faithfulness and his steadfast love endures forever. And it's not a result, well, if Jason's thankful, then his steadfast love endures forever. But rather, I'm thankful because his steadfast love endures forever. So he always acts first, I act second. And so if there's anybody here this morning and you're like, man, I always feel like I have to earn something from God, or I have to be in a spot where thankfulness becomes just another rule or another chore, can just say, like, just stop right now, and maybe just stop saying thank you and just start to focus on God's goodness. Because when we realize how God is good, our natural, like, the natural response is thankfulness.
Yeah, these verses are used as a songbook. It's when, as people are gathering together, they're coming into the courts of the temple. It's almost like as they'd be walking up the foyer of, or walking up the sidewalk in front of us and into the foyer, they're having, the guys are, prepare yourselves, we're getting ready to go in. Let's orient ourselves before we get in with the attitude that's proper. And what jumped out at me is thankfulness is a response. Thankfulness is a response, and we are not scrounging for or lacking in reasons to be thankful. We are, again, I use the preschool as an example because there's a lot of like real life unfiltered responses to life that happen when you're 3, 4, and 5 years old. You don't ever have to worry if a 4-year-old likes you. You don't have to wonder, I wonder what they think of me. They'll tell you. And we're attempting to teach them not just about Bible stories, but that they would actually get to know who Jesus is. And thankfulness is a big part of this particular month. And for many of them, to think beyond, I'm thankful for my mom, or I'm thankful for my dad, or I'm thankful for, they can get to 2 or 3 examples, and then there's nothing else. And they're just like, I don't know, thankful Iron Man, I'm thankful for him. And they're digging. We are not scrounging for reasons to be thankful to God. Several are offered up here. Number one, the psalmist says, we're responding to the fact that he's God. Creator of the universe. That's pretty cool. This is someone so beyond us. And yet, we are his. The God of creation says, you are mine. More than that, he made us. Made by him. I think one of the things about our culture that bothers me the most, and there's a long list, I'll be tweeting it this afternoon. Not really. Is that somehow you need to become different than you are mentally, emotionally, physically in order to be acceptable within our culture. It's always an improvement that could be made. Or we, in many ways, it's a little bit like the German mentality has an effect on us. And, you know, if you were to go to like a kindergarten here, and a 5-year-old paints a picture, we are taught, you know, let's say, what did little Tommy do well in painting this picture? And people will say, I like it that he made it green or something like that. The German mentality in that same kindergarten, and the question they ask is, what could little Dietrich have done better with this? Dead serious. And I think we look at ourselves in that way, of where we don't measure up, where we're not there yet. And that's not how God looks at us. Many times, the very things that we may have in our own life that were the most difficult, we would not want to have focused on at all, may be the very area that God wants to heal, to redeem, and then to work through in our lives. And when God works in us, he doesn't come at us with a chainsaw. There's so much work that needs to be done here. He comes at us with great intentionality and with great purpose to highlight and bring out the stuff that he's done in us. He is God. We are his, made by him. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist writes here because he was a shepherd. And for some of us to think you have sheep would be like, oh no. But for the psalmist, as a shepherd, you have sheep. This is like the best news ever. These are my sheep. And as he's pulling for an analogy, how could I make people really understand how much God loves and cares for them? You're his sheep. And for us, it's like crickets. But for him, this is like the highest. Because what would you do for your sheep? You lay down your life for the sheep. If a predator comes attacking the sheep, you're stepping in the way of that. You live and die to make sure your sheep are okay. And that's what God thinks about you. So whatever is most precious in the world, think you are God's that. My grandson Owen is 13 months old, and in his grandfather's tradition, in his father's tradition, he has learned the power of the remote control. When he comes to our house and he gets that remote, he just tucks it into his arm. And it's like the happiest in the whole world. He's got it. His analogy would be, I am God's remote control. Because it's the most important thing. You are the apple of God's eye. That's why we can be thankful.
Yeah. So one other thing here that is Louis, he invited me out. He said, hey, we're going to be talking about thankfulness. And I didn't know it was going to be pastor appreciation. But then he informed me, and so what a pleasure. No, in all seriousness.
He's going to explain my flaws now, several of them.
We're going to list them one by one. Do you guys want to line up? I can have an open mic. No. But what are we thankful for? And like Louis said, sometimes it's hard to think through these things. But as I was thinking through, I'm not only thankful for the works that God's done, you know, forgiveness and peace and joy and all these things. But I guess as I get older in life, I'm really thankful for who he has done them through. Because when we look at our lives, sometimes salvation or, you know, even eternity or God's forgiveness, and while we feel those things, sometimes they're really hard to grasp onto, especially as we go through challenging times in our life. They're almost like these abstract thoughts, and they're really hard to, like, you know, how on earth can you expect me to be thankful? Is you know, these are my circumstances. And I think sometimes we may be trying to I don't think too much about it, but I just want to read a few quick verses. The Apostle Paul, I'll read these and you'll get the gist. But in 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus." In Ephesians 1:16, in his opening remarks to the church in Ephesus, he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." In Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Colossians 1, in the opening remarks of that letter, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up in heaven for you." Now, we're usually thankful for what people do for us. You know, we look at them and we look at us, and we always kind of, you know, see bank accounts almost. Well, have you given to me? And then if you've given to me, then therefore I can be thankful. But Paul here doesn't thank actually the people. He's not saying, you know, "Hey, thank you so much for what you've given me," or "thank you for your support," or "thank you for your encouragement." He's thanking God for what God's doing in their life. And Paul shows us that this thankfulness, or this art almost of becoming thankful in our everyday life, is this truth that you have to recognize what God is doing in somebody. And then our first response is, "Man, thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness." Like, you know, you look at your kids, you look at your spouse, you look at your parents, you look at your close friends, whoever it may be. And I can guarantee you this: God is at work in their life. You may not see it, but God is at work. And even if you're having a hard time seeing it, it's like you can say, "God, I thank you for your work because you are faithful to them." So as your kids are, like, you know, going through trial after trial, you have this hope and you have this expectation, not because things will just happen to work out, but because God is at work and his faithfulness endures forever and ever. Just as I was thinking through this morning, I mentioned I was a punk 18-year-old kid with very bad intentions, and that was actually very true. I liked my wife because she was very pretty to me. And
still is?
Well, she is. Yes, not was. Sorry. Is this live? Is this
pop?
She doesn't have Facebook, so I'm good. No, I'm kidding. Well, that's true, actually. She doesn't have Facebook because she's like that. So anyway, in just a quick backstory here, Louis had told Elise that she shouldn't be going out with me. Can you believe that? What a terrible youth pastor you were. And like, she said, "Hey, you should not be dating this guy because all he does is, you know, other bad stuff, right? And he's not a good influence," which is the perfect advice that I give countless people, right? And but somehow, like, while Ali said that, my first attitude is like, "Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with these people, right? Like, they're terrible people, and they don't like me already." And anyway, to make a long story probably longer, Elise continues to invite me, and then I go through a challenging time in my life, and you know who actually listened to me? It was this guy right here, okay? Like, he would meet with me every week. It was every Wednesday at Wendy's. down in Carson. And he would meet with me, and I would probably, gosh, now looking on the other side of pastoral ministry, I would be leaving that meeting thinking, whew, that kid is messed up. Like, I am so glad that this is something the Holy Spirit has to do in him. But anyway, just that hope that he saw in me somehow. He had no business inviting me to help with youth and to move in with them. Because, like I said, I had no idea what I was doing. But he somehow recognized that God was at work in my heart and life. And so that's something that we need to start seeing in people. Because believe it or not, when you start to see God at work in somebody and then they start to understand that you're believing in them, man, God does some amazing, miraculous things. Mm-hmm. So be thankful for what God is doing, even if you can't see it.
Yeah, and in wrapping up, thankfulness is intentional. Chris quoted, I guess I said this last week, and that was to bless God like the homeboys on the night watch. I said that. That's what I said. And it was to think through the people who have the night watch in the temple maybe not as motivated as the people who got the extra hour of sleep last night. And so it's like you have to really orient yourself to, I am going to bless God. In much the same way, I am going to intentionally be thankful. And here's why I'm going to be thankful. But even the prescribed, I'm entering into God's presence with thanksgiving. I'm entering into where he is with praise. And that's not whether I feel like this or not. I'm simply coming to you, thanking you, God, because you have plans and you have purposes and you have intentions that I have never even imagined. And you are at work, not just in me, but in the people around me. And if I'm looking for it, I will see God at work in people. And there's nothing as awesome to be able to then see. And I can remember a couple of times talking to Jay and say, it's really cool to see God at work in you. And he's like, I don't feel it. It's like, well, I can see it. And I wasn't mostly lying when I said that to him. It was for real. I saw. But when you speak that, you're actually helping to disciple someone to believe in themselves and to believe in what God is doing in their life. Because when we're in the middle of it, we feel like we're floundering. We feel like we're missing the boat. I'm just the worst. Because the enemy of our soul is wanting to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us, and to keep us beyond hope from reaching to the point where we would actually trust God and take him at his word. So it feels like a mess. It feels like a storm. It feels like we're failing miserably. When someone else says, hey, I see Jesus in you, it can be a very powerful thing that helps people to then say, maybe that's true. Yeah. Do you want to say anything
else? Can I say one more thing?
You can say one more thing.
Okay. If you guys have people in your life, and sometimes when we talk about thankfulness or even, well, whatever, we always think of that other person that needs to be thankful, you know, or, that's definitely for my spouse. I wish she was thankful, or that's for my kids, or, you know, we always seem to put it on somebody else. Maybe you guys don't because you didn't respond at all. That's just how I think.
Everybody's no, we're pretty quiet, no? Usually.
Okay. I'm from New England. Well, I'm not from New England. I live in New England, like home of the Frozen Chosen, so I feel like most of the time I can deal with that. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, okay. You're actually doing pretty good, Jason.
Good.
It's like a B-.
I feel encouraged.
Yeah. No, you're doing great.
But parents, if you want your kids to be thankful, you better be thankful. Like in the psalmist here, it's like this audible thanks. He's not saying, all right, enter into the courts of God with quiet thanksgiving or silent thanksgiving. No, he's like, dude, like this is a shout. This is praise. This is like exclamation points are all over this psalm. And so it's like this loud thanksgiving. And it's not that you have to be loud. But it's this almost like this seeable action in your life. And so if you want the people around you to be thankful, thankfulness is very contagious, just like ungratefulness is very contagious. And so it's like you want your kids or you want your spouse or you want your family or your community to reflect that thankfulness. It's probably not by pointing the finger and saying, hey, man, you need to be thankful. No. But as you model thankfulness, as you model this kind of, as the psalmist paints this community going into the presence of God with thanksgiving, it's like, man, that's so contagious. And as your kids see that, or your spouse sees that, or your family sees that, friends see that, it's like, oh, okay, then I can be thankful. And we're leading people along the way.
You want to pray for us?
I would love to pray for us.
All right.
Do we stand?
If you want to.
Would you guys stand? Thank you. This is what we do. Sorry.
So this is like Massachusetts style?
It'd be a little different.
East Coast.
It'd be a little
bit
more formal. All right. I'm not in a suit this morning, so. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we just take a second and we do say thank you for grace and for mercy. Lord, as circumstances arise that might challenge that, as we think through some areas in our life, Lord, where it's hard to see you at work, just as Louis just said, Lord, we choose thankfulness. We know you're at work. And we know that you're good. We know that you're for us, that you're not against us. Lord, that you're not opposing us, but that you're making a way where there is no way. So, Lord, I pray for everybody in this room and who belongs to Hillside as a community of faith. Lord, ultimately, first and foremost, that they would know the love that you have for them. That they would know that you're for them, not against them. And Lord, let us open up our hearts. Let's be vulnerable to you. And let thankfulness be ever on our lips. Yes. That we're constantly seeing, constantly recognizing things that you're doing, things that not just that you've done and are doing, but you will do in the future, because you are a faithful, faithful God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we are thankful for one another. Lord, we're thankful for those people that you've put in our lives to encourage us, to help push us closer towards you. Lord, we're thankful for the people that you've put into our lives to help lead towards you. And so, Lord, we're thankful for your goodness, your faithfulness. And Lord, we love you. And church, just as we wrap up, your world is waiting for you to be a source of joy, love, and hope, and thankfulness in. Empower us through your Spirit, Lord, to do such things. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.